In other word and language news, the staff of the Merriam-Webster Dictionary has dubbed they as a singular pronoun their word of the year. Its growing use has met with resistance in some quarters, while others point out that it has actually been used that way for a long, long time. Peter Sokolowski is editor-at-large for Merriam-Webster. Peter, thanks for joining us today.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Well, I have to imagine it's fun putting together the word of the year list, and we'll talk about some of the runners up a little later. But first, can you explain how they is being used today as a singular pronoun?
Sure. There's really two different uses. One is what is usually referred to as the singular they, which has been used in English for about 600 years or so, and partly is kind of a way to fill a gap in the language. That is to say that we don't have a pronoun that corresponds neatly with singular pronouns like everyone or someone or anyone, in which case you're referring to a single individual, but it's a person who is unknown. So you don't know if that person is a male or a female person. And the word they has been used in that context for 600 years. It's the kind of sentence like, no one has to go if they don't want to. Everyone knew where they stood. Everybody likes pizza, don't they? Those are kinds of uses that are pretty unremarkable in English. Now there's this more recent phenomenon, which we date back to around 2005, which we call the non-binary they, which is to say that it is used to refer to a single person, an individual whose gender identity is non-binary, which is to say that they do not refer to themselves as either a he or she. And so it is a choice on the part of that speaker to use they in that instance.
So in that second sense, and that is the sense that made it the word of the year, some people have said that it shouldn't be accepted and that it's grammatically incorrect. How do you respond to that?
There's nothing grammatically incorrect about using no one has to go if they don't want to, for example. I suspect that there are some people who refer to a kind of traditional grammar that is, in fact, not organic to the English language. There are many rules that some people call zombie rules, like, never end a sentence with a preposition or never split an infinitive verb, for example. But those are rules that were superimposed on the language in the 18th century when grammar books were first being written. And so, in a sense, they were the rules of people who had learned Latin in school applied to English, and that doesn't necessarily work. So the fact is, it's perfectly grammatical, and it always has been in English to do those things, any of those things, ending a sentence with a preposition or splitting an infinitive or certainly using they to refer to a single individual. This new one has to do with, in a sense, just a changing sense of a person's identity. And that is something that the dictionary really has no place in. All we can do is recognize the language that is used as it's been used. And it's used sufficiently frequently that we added this definition to the dictionary in the past year. And we only add definitions or new words to the dictionary if they are frequently used.
Peter Sokolowski is editor-at-large for Merriam-Webster Dictionary, and we are talking about the word of the year and the runners-up. This year's word of the year is they as a singular pronoun. And Peter, languages are always evolving. It's one of the great things about them. Do you expect that there will be a time that this use of the pronoun they doesn't even register as different or new?
I think lexicographers make lousy prognosticators, so I'm not going to predict. We do have some historical precedent, however. We do certainly see that they is often used as a singular they, and it's unremarkable. Most people wouldn't notice it. Maybe they would correct it in formal writing, but again, a sentence like "no one has to go if they don't want to" would pass muster for most of us, and in fact, we wouldn't even notice it. What's interesting about this is that the pronoun you was altered about 400 years ago, or rather its use was altered, because we used to say in the English language thee and thou to refer to an individual person in the second person. And you was used as the plural or for people of superior social rank, which is the kind of pronouns that the second person has in European languages. Like in French, you have vous and tu, and in German, there are other parallels. But the thee and thou in English, as you know perfectly well, have fallen away, and they are only used now in sort of poetry and prayers. They are recognized as archaic parts of the language, and I can refer to an individual, such as yourself, with the word you and a plural verb. I would say, you are speaking to me now on WPR, and that is a change in the language that we register. In other words, we understand and we think it's perfectly grammatical to use the plural verb with you, as we would with we, for example. And so with they, I think that is a solid step grammatically in that same direction. At the same time, any change in language that happens that we notice is likely to seem very strange to many of us, and it will seem strange for a long time.
I want to talk about a couple of the other contenders for this year's Word of the Year. And one is, I think, the.
Yes. This is one.
Surely you've heard that before, Peter.
Yeah. What's interesting is now our words of the year are generated quantitatively. These are words that are looked up frequently in the dictionary. We have about 100 million page views a month at Merriam-Webster.com. We have 2 billion words looked up a year on the apps. So we have a huge amount of data to reflect upon how the dictionary is being used. It just so happened that the word the was looked up in August when the Ohio State University filed a trademark application for the word, because they have as their official name the Ohio State University, not Ohio State University. So many people, first of all, it was reported in the press. It got a lot of attention. The trademark application was denied, but it did draw a lot of attention to one of the most basic and one of the oldest words in the English language, which is the or the.
That makes a lot more sense. A word that we have heard a whole lot this year, especially the second half of the year. Well, actually, a phrase, quid pro quo.
Yes. Well, I'm not surprising at all, because the lookups in the dictionary do reflect the news. And clearly the news is political. That has been the big story for a number of years. And we have certainly noticed that when a term seems technical or medical or legal, those are the words that people tend to look up in the dictionary. And quid pro quo is certainly a legal term. It's a technical term. It's not in everybody's everyday vocabulary. And because it's such an important part of such an important story, it makes perfect sense that people would go to the dictionary and check it out.
I found this one interesting too, because I read the book that I think is related to it, is Crawdad.
Oh, that's right. And what's interesting here is it shows kind of, I think, the way the dictionary works, which is, even though often we see words like quid pro quo or impeach in our lookup data, the dictionary is not there to measure the news. It's there to measure the language. And crawdad is an unusual word for a lot of people. It is a huge bestseller. And congratulations to Delia Owens for her great novel.
It's called Where the Crawdads Sing.
Where the Crawdad Sings, exactly. And it's been at the top of the New York Times bestseller list for nearly a year, I think. She was profiled on CBS Sunday Morning. But that word, it's an unusual word. It's sort of an alteration of crawfish or crayfish. And it's very kind of local to the southeast, you know, the Louisiana basin. And so it's a colorful word. It's a word that people encountered maybe by reading rather than hearing, and which might encourage them to look it up in the dictionary.
And our producer, Rachel Owen, says yes, because they should be called crawdads, not crawfish. So there, you can include that in the next edition. I know that you said that you lexicographers, I believe, are not good prognosticators was your very pithy phrase. But any predictions, what realm 2020's word might come from?
Oh, you know, to be honest, what's interesting is that a word like they is really about the language and the culture put together. Clearly there's a focus on politics. Our top 10 list will always have political terms. And you know what? To be honest, they always have had political terms.
Well, we'll look for those political terms. Peter, thank you so much for joining us today. Peter Sokolowski is editor at large for Merriam-Webster Dictionary. He was with us to discuss why the singular pronoun they was chosen as their word of the year.